on behalf of everybody here and on behalf of the public, I want to thank you for engaging in it at a time, in truth, when I know you've been advised not to. So thank you so very, very much. Thank you. Sam Bankman-Fried, everybody.
Well, what we know is that these groups, and one major group in particular, was actually sending memos to this disinformation board, apparently advocating for policy, sending it to them. Remember, this board supposedly doesn't even exist yet. And here you have the liberal dark money groups know all about it. They are emailing policy memos to the group, to the disinformation board, and saying, here's what you ought to do. So you have this collusion between the liberal big money interests, between big tech. We know that the disinformation board was setting up a special arrangement with the big tech companies so that they could meet and coordinate their censorship. It's unbelievable stuff.
She spent a lot of time on other reservations, other nations as well. I'm worried she's not going to come home one of these days when she goes. You think I'm joking? I'm telling you. If I hear more about the Navajos than I hear about me. You all think I'm kidding, don't you?
Are you?
Oh, I've been ready since, really, 6 o'clock last night. 704-570-1110, Brent Witterbull Show. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Our phone number, fully interactive radio today. 704-570-1110. You know, it's really incredible. There may be a reason why the border is wide open, and it's maybe not what a lot of people have thought about. This is certainly not a new revelation, but it's something that kind of comports with the whole Hunter Joe, Jim Biden kind of thing. What if I told you, that Hunter Biden owned a financial stake in a digital banking platform? Oh, you mean like Sam Bankman-Fried? No. This is even better than that. Hunter Biden owned a financial stake in a digital banking platform for undocumented migrants, introduced the founder of the company to Joe Biden while the company was receiving the Mexican government's endorsement. E Plata is the name of the platform. It's a digital banking platform that partnered with the Mexican government to enable migrants to send and receive remittances. They have deep financial and personal ties to Hunter Biden. Now, for people who don't understand what the remittance game is, it's very simple. It's easy to understand. You have come into the country. You have come into the country in other than legal ways. You have taken a job. You're being paid in cash. You've got to send money back to your family. Maybe you got to send the cut back to the traffickers that brought you into the country. So what do? You go to a location. You may remember things like Western Union and that sort of stuff where you could actually send money, send funds. Well, these apps exist now, too. These corporations exist now, too. And what you do is you take your money and you can wire it back to the homeland. Doesn't have to be Mexico. Anywhere in South America. Could be Canada. Could be Europe. Could be Asia. Could be Africa. Doesn't matter. That's what these businesses do. They send a lot of money out of the country. You know, you think about the United States of America. You get up and you go to work every single day. You pay your bills. You buy your groceries. You provide for your family. Do you know how much is going out of the country from the United States in these with these apps? What if I give you a number? $150 billion a year. Untaxed. Not taxed. Other than the fees it may be charged with the wiring of money out of the country, you're not getting taxed on that. We don't get a piece of that. Uncle Sam doesn't get a piece of that. The fintech startup described itself as a multi-balance, multi-currency digital wallet and payment ecosystem founded by one of Hunter Biden's longtime business partners, Jeff Cooper. Documents unearthed from Hunter Biden's hard drive also reveal that the president's son held an 8% stake in ePlata through his Owasco LLC, though it's unclear if he still retains the position or not. What's your guess? I know what my guess is. What's your guess? Several individuals who have financial ties to Hunter Biden have recently been appointed to the company's board of directors. Emails obtained from Hunter Biden's hard drive prove the president's son was profiting off of ePlata, receiving a $20,000 wire transfer from the company in April of 2015. What was happening in 2015? Does anybody remember what was happening in 2015? You had a surge of migrants coming up. Remember the kids in cages? Those were originally created by the Biden-Obama administration. And people were coming in, getting released, and then wiring money back home. Hunter was likely benefiting from that. Joe's son was likely benefiting from that. ePlata offers worldwide banking without the need for a traditional bank account. That's according to the company's synopsis. While ePlata was launched in 2016, it's made broader efforts since to grow, including appointing several Hunter Biden-linked officials to its global advisory board as recently as 2019. That's just right before the election, wasn't it? ePlata also appears to have a financial interest in supporting mass migration to the U.S., given the company's positioning itself as the premier platform for sending money and receiving remittances. In emails obtained by Hunter Biden's hard drive, the company pitched itself as focused on cross-border remittances. Remittances represent a key financial aspect of mass migration, both legal and illegal, as it refers to migrants sending funds to their current country of residence back to their home country. The payments constitute a massive industry worth over $150 billion annually, because the money is leaving the country without taxes being collected. Oh, I thought the left, I thought Joe Biden, I thought you Biden voters wanted the higher taxes. 87,000 IRS agents kicking in your doors, rifling your wife's or your husband's underwear drawers and taking the money that you had squirreled away for a rainy day. That's what the whole purpose of the Inflation Reduction Act was, to get 87,000 more of them on the dole, so they can knock on the door and take what they want. But they're not gathering a single nickel, dime, or penny from the 150 going out the door. And maybe that's the point. Maybe that's why Joe Biden's never been to the border. Maybe that's why Joe Biden and Hunter Biden have never had to answer the tough questions. Maybe it's about something more than Chi-Com influence. Maybe it's about something more than firing the prosecutor. Maybe it's about something more than Ukraine. Maybe it's something much, 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 much more in the wheelhouse of a pervert like Hunter Biden. And it's just good old-fashioned largesse on the backs of the poor. The D's have been doing it for a while. The head of Mexico's Consumer Protection Agency highlighted ePlata as one of the country's leading platforms for sending and receiving remittances during a presidential press briefing. While pursuing deals with Mexican billionaires during Joe Biden's tenure as vice president, Cooper and Hunter Biden exploited the privileges of the office, including White House events and trips on Air Force Two. Remember, he did fly down to Mexico in 2016, and it wasn't explained why it was. I think we now know what the deal is. Could they possibly be in business with the cartels? 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Ladies and gentlemen, Boomer Von Cannon. What's going on, Boomer? News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show. Great to be with you. Democrat Senator Sheldon Whitehouse is starting to catch some heat, ladies and gentlemen, and this is something that ought to have tongues wagging. I have been watching very closely, taking a look at such august broadcast or cable outlets as CNN and MSNBC and even Fox, but I haven't seen much coverage of this. This is something that really should matter to each and every one of us. Democrat Senator Sheldon Whitehouse pressured the IRS to take out conservatives. What? Wait a minute. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, Democrat of Rhode Island, called for revoking a tax exemption for a conservative group for not masking up and socially distancing during the pandemic, insisted on a slew of investigations of other conservative groups, and pressed the IRS to expand its reach. Remember those 87,000 agents that I told you were going to be rifling through you, your children, your loved ones' underwear drawer in the hopes of finding filthy lucre there in there, money you should not have? They're also going to be deployed against you conservatives. You know, you Second Amendment types, you free speechers, you people who believe that the EPA shouldn't be able to come into your backyard and after a rainstorm declare that puddle a navigable waterway. The Third Amendment types, the Tenth Amendment types, the people who refuse to bend a knee and bow to the almighty Washington, D.C., Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, he wanted the IRS to expand its reach to take on you people, formerly known as American citizens. A total of 176 pages of, as he would say, correspondence from and to White House was obtained from the IRS by the conservative watchdog group American Accountability Foundation through a FOIA filing. Quote, it's abundantly clear that White House is trying to take the 87,000 new IRS agents and put them to work investigating me and my friends because he doesn't like our politics, said Tom Jones, president and founder of the American Accountability Foundation, talking to the Daily Signal in a phone interview on Tuesday. The letters span from January 19th of 2021, the day before President Biden took office, into May of 2022. This has been described as Lois Lerner on steroids. You remember that from back in the old days, the bad old days? The bad old days of Obama-Biden? White House has long been a critic of conservative nonprofit organizations and uses an expansive definition of dark money groups, broadly defined as tax-exempt organizations that don't disclose donors. The Supreme Court in 1958 and 2021 has struck down compelled donor disclosure requirements at the state level. Now, the Rhode Island Democrat, who was first elected in 2006, makes dark money the central point of Senate floor speeches and uses most of his five-minute question period to rant and rave about these issues. But as Tom Jones, it's not unusual, says, it's Lois Lerner on steroids. In fact, Tom Jones is essentially saying it's not unusual, it's just Lois Lerner on steroids. The Lois Lerner stuff was mid-level bureaucrat abusing her power to investigate conservative groups. This is a U.S. senator basically trying to turn the heat up on investigations by the IRS. So if Sheldon Whitehouse had his way, Lois Lerner would just look like a test run of what Sheldon Whitehouse has in mind for each and every one of you. In a dated letter from January 19th, 2021, Shelley Whitehouse, who, by the way, you could Google this, was, as recently as a couple of years ago, in some hot water for belonging to what was essentially a whites-only beach club up in Rhode Island, as they say. Yeah, look that up. If I'm wrong, TJ, you just type in Shelley Whitehouse. You know him because he can't say suffer and succotash. Shelley Whitehouse, whites only beach, Rhode Island. And he got in hot water for that. And I don't think he ever quit the club because he has been known to tell people that whose beach? His beach, because he draws his lineage all the way back to the Puritans. Mm-hmm. And I think we know what that means. Do I have to spell it out? Suffer and succotash. In a letter dated, he wrote a letter. White House asked the IRS Commissioner Charles Rettig to revoke the tax-exempt status of Turning Point USA because the conservative organization held an event at Mar-a-Lago without masking or social distancing. Turning Point USA, he wanted the IRS to investigate them because they had an event at Mar-a-Lago without masks. I was in Florida a couple of times during the clampdowns. And you know what? I didn't wear a mask. You didn't have to wear a mask. Fauci wasn't around there spraying Lysol in everybody's face. He was harassing puppies. Tax-exempt status provides a substantial benefit to charitable organizations and reflects the federal government's endorsement of organizations' activities. That's what he wrote to the IRS. Organizations that knowingly put in danger minors entrusted to their care should not enjoy the benefits of tax-exempt status. Well, then I can't wait till you file an IRS complaint with the cartels, dude. Accordingly, I urge the IRS to review whether it should revoke Turning Point USA's tax-exempt status. So this is a guy who is a B-U-L-L-Y bully. He is a bully. And he is going to try to use his power in the Senate to shake people down, to send the IRS out after his political opponents. Now, are you surprised? Don't be. It's just the beginning. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110-993-WBT. It's not unusual to hear from Anna Erickson with the update. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. All right, let's play a little bit of sound. Shall we play a little bit of sound? Senator Josh Hawley talking last night on the collusion between the United States government and big tech. Cut number 37, please.
Well, what we know is that these groups, and one major group in particular, was actually sending memos to this disinformation board, apparently advocating for policy, sending it to them. Remember, this board supposedly doesn't even exist yet. And here you have the liberal dark money groups know all about it. They are emailing policy memos to the group, to the disinformation board, and saying, here's what you ought to do. So you have this collusion between the liberal big money interests, between big tech. We know that the disinformation board was setting up a special arrangement with the big tech companies so that they could meet and coordinate their censorship. It's unbelievable stuff.
There is a battle going on in our country, and really only one side is really active in this battle, and it's the battle for the soul of the country, the direction of the country, all those sorts of things. And it's really only one side that's waging the war. Most of you get up and you go to work every single day. You wake up. I'm going to take like an analogy, not an analogy, but I'll use an example of somebody that I know well. So you get up 5-6 o'clock in the morning, you grab a cup of coffee, you maybe grab a shower, you grab something to eat, you get in the car, you drive to work, you bust your butt all day long with an eye towards getting home that night, spending a little bit of time with your loved ones, helping your kids, the involvement that they have with sports or projects or homework assignments or any of that sort of stuff. So maybe you got a couple hours with your family, and then you know what it is. It's lights out, you go to sleep, you rinse and you repeat for 5 straight days. Then you get to the weekend, you try to pick up the pieces that have kind of fallen behind. You get like a half a Saturday, maybe a Saturday night. Sunday, you get a little ball in a little bit, right? You get to watch a little NFL, something like that. And then before you know it, it's Monday all over again. While you're doing that, while you're living your life, there is an entire network in this country working to destroy your country. And what I mean by that is they hate you. They hate you. And you cannot win by hating them back, but you have to be activated. You have to be active. You have to understand that what Donald Trump did in 2016, getting elected and then taking office in 2017, can never be permitted again. And it's not even about Donald Trump per se. It's that you rejected the institutionally approved Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine to be the next man up after Obama Biden. And you said no to that. And you decided you wanted your country to go in a different direction. Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, Eric Holder, the university systems, the big tech companies, the institutions of Washington, D.C., your Alexander Vindmans, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They were a offended that you would not play the game, that you would think that you could get one election in and you could change your country and the orientation of your country, which is firmly oriented towards being involved in an entangled war, being involved with dictators around the world like Xi Jinping, etc. And instead, you wanted to orient the country towards the Constitution and towards what makes this country an amazing place. And you had to be punished. You had to be punished. And so, you lost in 2020, and you've now had people co-sign back on to the Democrat Senate and to Joe Biden, and they're feeling really good. They're feeling really, really good. But we're starting to see the unearthing of information, the collusion that existed, and God bless Elon Musk for buying Twitter. I know it cost him billions and billions and billions of dollars, but just to get access to the internal memos and the woke t-shirts and the policies that were put into place to restrain one half of the country's political opinion, that man deserves a medal for doing that. For doing that. Because he's going to release all the paperwork, I hope. So we know what's going on, I hope. But you do everything right. You pay your taxes. You're charitable. You get to church when you can. You do all the stuff that you're supposed to do. And then you're told you're the problem. You're the problem. Because your family is intact, and you care about your family, and you care about your neighbors, and you care about your community and your country. That is a problem. The only reason why liberalism exists as an institution is to create and then salvage problems. Why is the border wide open? The border is wide open because Chuck Schumer and the party he represents in the Senate is desperate to create enough chaos that you will then grant 30 million people amnesty to come into the country and to work and to benefit and to do those things by not having to apply, not having to get background checked, not having to follow the rules that you have to follow if you want to get a driver's license, if you want to buy a handgun, if you want to purchase a vehicle. You've got to fill out the paperwork. It's an aspirational desire. You want to send your kid to college. It's an aspirational desire. And you have to fill out the paperwork. But Chuck Schumer understands his party is out of touch with the mainstream. So what they have to do is stress you out. And that's what they're doing at the border. It's what they did with the masking. It's what they did with the shutting down of schools. It's what they did with mandatory vaccinations in the military. It was designed bit by bit, piece by piece, beginning in the early part of 2021, as a system to fatigue you. To fatigue you. And now you find out the collusion with big tech. You find out that Sheldon Whitehouse is deploying the IRS against people who disagree with him politically. You're getting all of this information now. And so now is not the time to go soft or to surrender. Now is the time to demand accountability. And I'm going to tell you what it is you should demand in a matter of minutes, because I have two very specific things that we should work on. And I'll tell you straight ahead. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. Boomer Von Cannon with a look at the road.
Make up your mind.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT. Brett Winterbull Show. WBT welcomes the Light the Nights Festival, where you can make merry memories at Truist Field. Now through January the 6th, there's an ice skating rink and snow tubing hill. Plus, enjoy light shows, live entertainment, holiday treats, Christmas trees, shopping, Santa, and more. Be sure to get out there and enjoy yourself because, you know, it's going to be a phenomenally exciting time. I love this time of the year. It's just so awesome. You know, you get together with your family. You get to see the kids and the excitement. I mean, it really does transport you back in time to that place. You know, if you're in the market for a Christmas gift or maybe an anniversary gift, can I recommend something? I'm gonna. Why don't you come with me and my wife as we make our trek to Italy, June 21st to the 30th. 10 days, 9 nights. We're going to see everything. We're going to have a blast. We have so many special things planned. We're going to go to Rome, Assisi, Perugia. We're going to go to Cortona and Florence. You're going to get such a great sampling of this trip of Italy itself. We're going to go to Venice and we're going to go to Murano Island. It's going to be amazing. If you've been before, please consider joining us for this trip. It's going to be so special. You get a flight, international airfare from Charlotte, 13 meals, all the ground transportation. And all you have to do is give my good friends a call over at Cruise and Tour. It is 800-383-3131, 800-383-3131. Or you can go to cruise-tour.com, but 800-383-3131. It's going to be summer before you know it, and I'm going to want to see you there. That's a fact. I was talking in the last couple of minutes about what it is that I want to see happen in terms of important priorities. We've got to get a handle on the direction of the government that you and I fund with our tax dollars. That's hugely important. You just got that warning with Shelley Whitehouse wanting to use the IRS to target people for their political beliefs. That's wrong. That's wrong either way it goes, as far as I'm concerned. Number two, Kevin McCarthy is talking about shutting down the January 6th committee. And I think that you have had a very partisan investigation take place. And I think now it is time to ensure that there is an investigation into the run-up to January 6th to find out what Nancy Pelosi knew, what Chuck Schumer knew, what the Capitol Police knew. Were they adequately staffed? We have got to treat this like a 9/11 attack. We have got to treat this like the sort of investigation that tells us what were the weaknesses, what were the shortcomings, what were the things that were not taken seriously, and what was the role of the federal government in all of those things. I believe that that's got to be the next phase. The second thing that we have got to find out is you keep seeing these reports showing up on the programs about people who are being detained in solitary confinement there at the jail in Washington, D.C. Kevin McCarthy can subpoena those people in solitary confinement and have them testify to the committee as to the conditions that they're being held, as to the conditions and their access to attorneys, to family, things like that. Those are things that can be done. If Kevin McCarthy wants to get down to the bottom of this, then let's get down to the entire bottom of this, including what it was that Merky Garland knew and, of course, what it was that Chris Wray knew as well. I mean, this is important. And we've got to make sure that people's constitutional rights are being respected. When you get convicted, you go to prison. But you don't go to prison before you get convicted. That's the difference between the United States and every place else. Let me grab this call. Rob is up first. Rob, welcome to the program.
How are you doing, sir?
Doing well, thanks.
I got a lot to unwrap here, okay? So give me time. First off, happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you, and you too.
And secondly, I love your show.
Thank you.
I listen to it all the time.
Thank you.
And the question I had, I got two of them now since you mentioned your last stuff, was I know you was on Rush's show, and I know you had something to do with his, what's it called, parodies or something? You know, the little skits they used to do?
Oh, yeah, parodies. Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, and I know you had a hand in that. Do you ever think about putting them on your show?
Well, they belonged to that program, so I don't have an ability to air them on the program. We do play clips now and again from Rush where he's talking about me, mentioning me, things like that, and that's fair use that we can do. But those parodies that I put together, those belonged to the program and continue to belong to that program at that network.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, because they made me laugh a lot.
I'm glad.
Rush made me laugh a lot. He was my lighthouse, and now you're my lighthouse.
Oh, man, you are so kind. Rob, you are so kind saying that. I appreciate you.
One more question for you.
Go ahead.
The reason the people are doing the January 6th stuff is because the government was in on it. That's the reason those people are still locked up.
Well, that's
because the FBI was definitely in on all that stuff to happen.
We need to find out exactly what role that they played. We've obviously heard that there are, you know, maybe 8, 9, 10, maybe more people who were undercover assets there on that day. We need to find out what happened. I mean, that's it. Rob, all the best to you. All the best to you, my friend. I appreciate you calling, buddy.
You too, sir. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you, buddy. Coach Matt Doherty's going to come by. So we got him for the next 2 hours, and you can call with your questions, comments, concerns, you name it. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110-993-WBT. Tell it, Waylon. Don't fool around with a rambling man. News Talk 1110-993-WBT. It is the Brett Winterville Show. Hi, my name is Brett. I don't know your name. What is your name? Who are you?
Moses.
Malone?
Moses Malone.
Who are you?
Matthew.
Matthew.
Me llamo Mateo.
What's your last name?
Doherty.
Matthew. Oh, you're Matt Doherty.
Yes.
That's been a while.
It's been a while. How you doing? How you doing?
I haven't seen you turkey since before Thanksgiving.
Right.
Hey. The boys are back in town. It's good to have you back, Coach.
Good play, TJ.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. It's always good to be back.
Yeah.
I'm eating some old Halloween candy left over from the Duffy Evans Z studio.
Are you kidding? Wait, No. You ate like 6 bags of sweet tarts. I remember that.
Smarties. Mm-hmm. I think it was 23 was the number of the little rolled Smarties. Yeah. And they had a bunch of leftover lollipops.
I never understood people who eat Smarties. I've never understood it because it's like eating baby aspirin. I don't like the way they taste.
I love baby aspirin.
Well, don't do that.
I mean, I did as a kid.
Okay. Well,
yeah, I tried to sneak a couple of St. Joseph baby. They were good.
Yes.
I mean, I grew up, you know, middle class, lower middle class, so that was kind of candy to me.
No, it's not.
It wasn't?
That's medicine. That is
really?
Medicine. Yes, it's medicine. Come on now.
I took the childproof caps as a challenge, but I don't know if they were childproof back then.
All you had to do was get a pair of pliers, and you could kind
of just had to open it.
That's it, Coach. It's good to have you here, and I'm happy that you're here. There's a lot of stuff out there happening.
Yeah.
First of all, I hope you had a very happy Thanksgiving.
I had a great Thanksgiving,
and I saw you were. You know what he was doing? He was slumming. He was slumming there at the Auburn Bama game.
Iron Bowl, man.
See, this
first time
Iron
down. I've been to Tuscaloosa once or twice as a
mm-hmm.
scout
mm-hmm.
For the Pacers, but that's the first time I went to a football game down
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that hit me, one, it's a beautiful campus. Their fraternities and sororities are like, I played golf yesterday at Charlotte Country Club, beautiful club.
Mm-hmm.
Their fraternities and sororities are like Charlotte Country Club. That size, that beautiful, that grand, amazing how big these places were.
Mm-hmm.
And they care a little bit about football.
Were you in a fraternity?
Yes. It was the UNC basketball fraternity.
Okay. So perfect analogy because did you miss that fraternity thing that you would see the guys partying and the girls and the stuff? And
the good thing about being fraternity, we had access to every one of the other fraternities.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to joke, like, we drink their beer and talk to their
friends. Girlfriends.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And so we didn't have to pay dues and we didn't have to get, you know, like go through hazing.
That's a good point. Now, you went through something tougher than hazing, though. I think with the with training and
2-a-days and preseason mile runs mm-hmm. and things like that. That was our dues and hazing. But mm-hmm. I didn't. I came from New York, and you come down. You like, I don't know when Animal House came out.
Like 77.
So in my mind, like that's what I'm thinking, right? I mean, here's the Fidel House. Here's the the Deeks and, you know, all these. I mean, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
But boy, you know, they could throw a party.
You see that Sam Bankman-Fried guy that crashed
out of
Jets? Doesn't he look like Blutarski? Doesn't he look like John Belushi's character?
After a diet. How about it? What a mess that is.
It's disgraceful.
Yeah,
it's disgraceful.
It's and he's getting to talk and act like, what is he, in the Bahamas or where is
he? He's in the Bahamas. He hasn't left. He hasn't left. TJ, give me this cut for Coach, because you got to hear this. He was doing that interview yesterday with the deal book over at the New York Times. Andrew Ross Sorkin was doing the interview with him. Listen to what he says. He says cut number 34. It's going to be cut number 34, SBF cut number 34.
There's going to be a time and a place for me to sort of think about myself and my own future, but I don't think this is it. Like, right now, I mean, look, I've had a bad month. This has not been any fun for me, but that's not what matters here. Like, what matters here is the millions of customers. What matters here is all the stakeholders in FTX.
You worked on the street. Would you give that guy a nickel, dime, or penny of your money?
This is what... When crypto came out, Bitcoin and all that,
right?
I'm a fundamental guy, and at 60, I'm starting to have more confidence in my ability to discern certain situations. Like, mm-hmm. there's always a fear. Maybe I'm looking at that wrong, and you know,
right.
like that's maybe there's something to that. But when that came out, I'm like, fundamentally, how does this work? Like what? Like, so you're selling me what? What do I have? Can you just make more of it? Is there any gold behind it? What is behind this Bitcoin and cryptocurrency mm-hmm. and all that? It scared the heck out of me.
Yep.
But there's the FOMO, the fear of missing out.
That's right.
Right? So it plays on your emotion. And you're like, but you have to have some discipline. So I had some friends that were in it. Yeah, crypto, Bitcoin, you got to get in this. So I did. I said, you know what? If I want to learn about it, I'm going to throw $100 in it. I'm not throwing 1,000. I'm not throwing 10 grand. I'm not throwing 100 grand. I'm going to throw in. Wise advice. Invest in what you know mm-hmm. or people you trust. I didn't know Bitcoin or cryptocurrency, and I didn't trust anybody in that space.
But what about all the celebrities? The Tom Brady and all these celebrities said it was a good thing to do. Tom, you know, all these guys.
There's a thing growing up in New York, a term called suckers, right? Like, how many people bought the Brooklyn Bridge? There's a lot of paper on the Brooklyn Bridge. A lot of people have paper, like deeds, and you know, that's my bridge. No, that's my bridge. I bought that bridge.
Right.
You bought that bridge? I thought I bought that bridge.
Right.
So it's amazing that people that smart can be suckered in. Johnny Damon?
Matt Damon.
No, the baseball player.
Oh, Johnny Damon, yeah.
Yeah, Johnny Damon. Don't correct me on your show. He got sucked into the Madoff.
Yeah, that's right.
He lost money with Madoff.
He avoided
a lot of the Mets. Some Mets people.
Yep, that's right.
Got so there are smart people that get suckered in because you trust but verify. It's tough to verify, right? If you came to me with a deal and said, "Yeah, it's a good deal, Matt. Let's do it." Minimum investments, whatever, 50 grand, 100 grand. Really? Okay. Yeah. You just think it's okay. And some people will just do it. I say, all right, you know, listen, Brett, I really like you, but I've got to verify that this is legit
because
I can't. So you put up it's in negotiations. You defer to a higher power.
Right.
So it's like, I can't do this without talking to my wife. I can't do it without talking to my attorney. I can't do this without talking to my investment advisor.
Absolutely.
I think it's a great idea, but.
Right.
Trust but verify. Some people don't have those systems in place to protect them against themselves.
Honey, we bought a timeshare. Congratulations. Merry Christmas. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We got plenty more straight ahead. Do you know the Hunter Biden laptop's real?
What?
Yeah, we'll talk
no
about
way.
It. We'll talk about it. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Boomer Von Cannon, man.
Welcome back, Coach.
Boomer, what's up, brother?
Welcome back, my man. Welcome back.
It's good to have him in the house.
It is so good to have him back.
Or is it good on the road? Little Iron Maiden for the coach. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. 704-570-1110. It is good to be with you. All right, Coach, let me ask you one quick question about business, and then we'll get down to the pleasure, okay?
Yep.
Here's the question. How are you assessing your heels so far as you see them?
Well, they're struggling, obviously. Lose three in a row, but they lost some of the worthy opponents. Iowa State, Alabama neutral site, Alabama four overtimes, and then last night, score probably wasn't as bad as what you witnessed if you watched it. They've got beat soundly by Indiana. That would happen. Indiana's a good team. Mike Woodson's a good coach. What am I witnessing? This looks like the team that was January of this year. They look like a team that's a little disarray, relies too much on one-on-one play. Not sharing the basketball, not cutting hard, not screening hard. I think when you have... You know, they have good talent. They don't have great talent. There's still not a lottery pick on that roster. There's still not maybe a first-round pick on that roster. So they have to do it collectively. And to do that, I talk about this all the time, organizational triangle. It's every organization is made up of three things: talent, systems, and culture.
Right.
And, you know, if the better your talent, the less your system has to come into play. Because then you could just let the talent play, just play, you know. And if you have less talent, you better have a good system that creates shots for that lesser talent. And the system is not such that it's doing that right now. Mm-hmm. So is it the system or the players? You know, you're not the same player. I remember Mike Krzyzewski saying this. You know, the same player in name comes back one year to the next, but it's a different player because their expectations are different. So now this team's coming back after a Final Four run. Everyone has a number one team in the country. There's NIL money out there, mm-hmm. a lot of pulling at them, and they think maybe inherently it's going to be a little easier because they're preseason number one. They got hot last year at the right time,
right?
March. And then it comes down to matchups. And now people are really studying and figuring out how to play them. And there's nobody on that team that's going to get an easy bucket. Baycott's not. Caleb Love's not. R.J. Davis is not. Everything they do is difficult. It's a hard shot. There's nothing easy. And they didn't show out well against the low to mid-major teams. It wasn't like they dominated anybody this year.
And so do you think that leadership, will that manifest organically, or does that have to only come from the coach?
Oh, I think it comes from both. I mean, they have mature guys. I think that's got to come internally and, internally from the team, players and the coach, a combination of both. You know, Hubert's not going to sit back and just say, hey, they got to figure it out on their own. Hopefully they both come to the players come to the realization, you know, and coach does too. He's got to do things to tweak the offense to make sure that they can get better looks. How can we create better offense than just going one-on-one or throwing it to Baycott or pick and roll? Mm-hmm. That's kind of what they do. There's not a lot of ball movement, player movement screening. Then they're easier to guard. And because they don't have elite talent. They have good talent, but not elite talent.
See, the thing that's interesting to me is when you look at the performance of a team over a season and you see the ebbs and the flows of that season where they're playing, you're paying attention to each and every game. In the world of politics, we get distracted. We pay attention to one story and then something other bright, shiny thing pops up. We're paying attention to that story. Hunter Biden's laptop is now, I mean, according to CBS News and everybody else, an officially real laptop with real information on it, and it was being suppressed from American voters by big tech.
You know, the question that I ask the people listening, the question I would ask you, the question that I know that I ask myself, how does it make you feel? And that's a question that I've learned to drill into my repertoire in my executive coaching. You know, you ask people, how does it make you feel? It makes me feel freaking angry as hell.
Yep. Because we were told we were kooks.
August, September, of 20, you and I were pounding our fist about the laptop, Babinski, people saying it's not real, it's fake, and to now get verification that it's real after two freaking years.
Yep.
So who was covering this up? Was it the FBI?
Yep.
Was it the media?
Yes.
Was it politicians?
Yes.
All the above.
It's all the above, man. It's all.
And so now what makes us any better than any other corrupt country?
That's a good question. I want to throw that out there to the audience, okay? What makes us any better than anybody else when you have a so-called free press suppressing actual evidence? 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110-993, WBT. If you're on hold, stay there. We're going to Anna Erickson with the update. Hey, Anna, what's the big story? News Talk 1110-993 WBT. My favorite person in the whole world is here today. I just want to say that. TJ, doing a great job. Coach.
No, Matt, I thought you were going to say Jim.
Where is Jim?
I thought you were going to introduce Jim.
Wait a minute. Hold on. We're going to go to you, Jim, in a second. But you got, listen, I think you may have some tasks to deal with on line one here. Let's see here.
Uh-oh, Tara.
Tara's got commentary on the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, Tara's in Alabama.
Tara, how are you?
Hey. No, I thought you were saying I was your favorite person, so I'm really upset now.
Tara's my favorite caller on line one.
So, Matt Doherty.
Yes, Tara.
I love you to death. I love your commentary and your thoughtful. I read a lot about you, and I know a lot about you.
Uh-oh.
And I am from Tuscaloosa.
Uh-huh.
However, my father would not let us go to Alabama.
No way.
No, I was recruited as a runner, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee. I went to Birmingham Southern.
Uh-huh.
You know, that, you know, 60 miles down the road. However, we're huge Alabama fans. His mother was Auburn fan, so we were a house divided.
Oh, my goodness. That's tough.
Yeah, he's a surgeon, and his brother was a dentist. So the Iron Bowl has been huge in our family. My grandmother was such a fan, she had an Auburn horn put on her car.
Oh, gosh.
So everybody knew when she came to church, she had the Auburn fight song on her car. But I wanted to tell you how much I appreciate you loving that campus, because one thing I do when I travel, I go to campuses. I try to run on the tracks and just appreciate. I love college campuses. Yeah. Love them. And I think Alabama is huge. When I'm there for a game, I leave my father's house. It's on Black Warrior River. Go across the bridge, run down the stadium, go across, high-five Nick Saban's statue.
Right.
And I think those statues are beautiful. And then I run back to my father's house. Mm-hmm. But I love it. And one thing I also want to say is I'm a fan that does not believe that Alabama's good this year, and that's okay, because I learned more from coming in second than I did winning. Just saying.
I understand. A lot of times when you win, you don't think you need to improve.
Exactly. And people think like, oh, my gosh, you're in Alabama. You got to be up. No, I'm not. We've won enough.
Yeah.
Come on. Now, I don't like Ohio State and the way they act. They're pathetic.
Yeah.
They still need to learn how to lose, because they are losers. But I appreciate your take on the campus. It is gorgeous. It's nostalgic. I wish you had seen when Nick Saban and the band comes in. It's absolutely gorgeous.
I saw it.
So.
No, I saw it. We went to the library to watch the band play. We made a point of seeing that. And then I got into the stadium early so I could see, the band, and they formed the elephant. And then when Saban came through the tunnel, and the history that struck me, a lot of things. I didn't know Wallace Wade was the coach there before, because I'm looking at the statues and I'm thinking that's Bear Bryant. And I'm looking closely and it's like, no, that's not his hat. That's not the houndstooth hat. It's a different hat. And they mentioned Wallace Wade. And I'm thinking, wait a second, it's Wallace Wade Stadium in Duke. And so you realize that Wallace Wade, the coach at Duke, a long time ago, named the football arena stadium after him, coached at Alabama, and was a legendary coach at Alabama. And the issues he had to deal with at Alabama are still present this day in terms of boosters and fans and the pressures and how he coached, I think, basketball and football or baseball or, three sports.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Three sports.
Great stuff.
And let me tell you something, too. If you're at Alabama, if you want to see a good girls softball team or girls gymnastics, you better get your tickets about 3 years before.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Now, and I'm a huge cross-country and a track runner, but my high school coach gets me into those. But, you know, I just appreciate that, and I just want to know, as a Alabama football fan, I'm okay with us not – we were pathetic this year. Our injury – our penalties are embarrassing. We just – we kept trying to give the game away, even at the Iron Bowl. Like, 105-yard penalty. I mean, come on.
Tara,
so we don't deserve this year.
Tara, last question, and not a lot of people – but these are the things, like walking college campuses – like you and enjoy the campus, especially in the South or in the Northeast, you know, a Harvard or Boston College or, but tell the audience, I'm going to put you on the spot, but I know you know this, how they came up with the elephant as their mascot.
You're going to put me on the spot?
Yeah.
You want me to tell you how?
Yes.
I won't be able to tell you.
You don't know?
I don't. And I grew up in Africa, and we had elephants. I had elephant tusks in my house. I do not know.
Tara, oh, my gosh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
So I will never be call of the day again with Brett.
No. Well, that's not true. You could be the call of the day with me. Listen, one thing I learned early, if you ask a question, you better know the answer.
Well, I didn't know you were going to ask me a question, or I would have Googled it. I don't mind saying I don't know something, though. The worst thing you can say is you act like you know something. You
said you grew up in Tuscaloosa, right?
I grew up in Africa and then moved to Tuscaloosa in 1971.
Okay, how old were you when you moved to Tuscaloosa?
I was 11 years old.
Oh, so listen, you're trying to skirt the Tuscaloosa thing as a reason why you don't know why the elephant is the mascot of Alabama.
I thought it was because I moved from Africa to Alabama.
Oh, you're good. You're good, Tara. You are so. Are your eyes brown, Tara?
My eyes are blue.
Blue. Okay. I was thinking you were full of it. That's why maybe your eyes might have been brown.
They might be turning black, brown right now.
No, they talked about the offensive linemen, and they stomped on the field like elephants. Some writer wrote that in like the 30s or something. So they.
Alive in the 30s.
Oh, Tara, you're becoming difficult now. Tara, just because you don't know the answer to the trivia question, don't have to get, you know, like
I'm going to get
play
emotional
nice,
and sad right
play,
now.
Play nice. It's okay.
Grab the coach's whistle so he can blow it.
Play nice. Play nice. But then that's how they adopted that they were the elephants, and they used it as a mascot.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, all I know is that we love it, and we're not – nobody cares about – you know, we're not jumping on anybody's feelings. We love the elephant. I've got tons of elephants in my house. But I want to ask you something real quick. Do you know Nick Saban? Because y'all –
I played golf with Nick Saban once.
Very similar.
Yeah, thank you. That's a hell of a compliment because I have a tremendous respect for him.
Absolutely.
It's all about process. It's all about showing up, doing your job. You know, if you want to, I quote him often with my Vistage executive coaching. You know, if you want to be like sell ice cream. You know, you've got to, as a leader. You're not going to be liked all the time. But if you want to be liked, go sell ice cream. If you want to lead, you got to make some tough decisions. And, you know, it's not about the score. It's about how you played. And
I can tell you this right now. In Tuscaloosa, he carries himself, he and Miss Terry carried themselves extremely well with his grandkids and with his family. They are so well respected, not just because they win, because he is a class act man. And
amen.
I loved his relationship with Kobe Bryant. And anyway,
we appreciate
you,
Tara.
That you went there and mentioned that. But yeah, maybe Roll Tide next year. But I'm enjoying them winning basketball. Thank you so much.
Oh, and now that was a shot. That was a parting shot, Tara. I didn't appreciate that.
Noted.
Parting shot.
We're noting that.
Okay,
that's
noted. Yeah. All right.
That's a yellow card.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Tara.
Bye.
Be good. You guys are the same height, right?
Me and Tara?
You and Saban?
Yeah, I did play golf with him and Eric Dickerson.
Look at this.
Name drop. 2000. 8, 9 at the Chick-fil-A golf outing and prep for the Chick-fil-A Bowl down in Atlanta. Reynolds Plantation, I think it was. But I admire the heck. Obviously, he's won a lot of games. I just like his philosophy and the way he holds his players accountable and pushes them out of their comfort zone.
It's great stuff. Great stuff. Boomer, you hear this?
Yes, sir. I'm loving it.
He's breaking it down with him and Tara.
Yes, sir.
Look at this, huh?
Yes, sir.
College football delight, baby. are we having delight on the road? News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Brett Winterbull and the coach, Matt Doherty. Jim. This is Jim. He's a sometime caller. Jim, welcome to the program.
Yes, back on the air with the coach. How about that?
Look at that. What are the odds?
Experience.
What are the odds?
Jim, how are you?
A whole segment for tarot. Talk about becoming prolific.
That's you're not jealous, are you, Jim? A little jealous?
No, I like how you guys talk about your stomping grounds together.
You're a tight-knit group.
I'm hearing edge.
A little edge there, Jim. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. It was just a one-time thing. I just stepped out one time, Jim.
They're just friends.
We're just friends.
That's all right. You'll enjoy the experience with Tara no matter what.
Whoa, Jim. Hey.
Excuse me. You're very near killing the show right now.
Yeah, don't kill the show, Jim.
I like doing that. I like veering near the wall and then bringing it back to the middle of the road.
You must be enjoying
it. Did you say rum? Did you say bring it back to the middle of the rum?
Middle of the road.
Oh, road.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, keeps you on your toes. Keeps you awake.
Okay.
Let's go to Jim.
Yeah.
What's on your mind, Jim?
Yeah, so you were talking about the FTX thing and the guy, Bankman-Fried.
Yes, Bankman-Fried, yes.
And I don't know if it's a coincidence, but I think the Attorney General of Florida had the wherewithal to decide to go after these ESG-rated funds. He's not letting them fund any Florida government organizations anymore. He just announced it today, in case you didn't know.
Ashley Moody? That'd be Ashley Moody, the Attorney General?
Yes.
I saw that announcement. That's big. Can I give you an announcement now?
Okay.
Here we go. You ready? Hours after news broke on Wednesday night that Mike Braun, who's now a Republican senator from Indiana, would run for governor of Indiana in 2024, people are now talking about the very real possibility that Mike Pence might run for Senate from Indiana.
That's awesome.
That's a very interesting turn.
Well, he needs to stay plugged in. This is a place where he needs to be a part of the process. Even if you didn't agree what he did during the election, the 2020 election, mm-hmm. he needs to be the voice that's there to make people look up. You know, the tendency usually seems to be in politics, is to go low and then go lower. And Mike Pence, for whatever you may perceive his faults to be, mm-hmm. he's always the person that tries to elevate the discourse. So
he does.
I welcome him.
He does. I mean, do you know, by the way, and it's just a real quick question for you, do you know what you get if you clone the vice president a half dozen times?
Oh, this is going to be awesome. You're going to kill your own show with this.
Are you ready? You know what you get? Sixpence.
What's that?
Sixpence. There you go, Jim.
Josh, please, hit the music.
He's trying to kill my show. We're struggling for control of the wheel. Jim, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. News Talk, 1110, 99.3 WBT. You know that tune? Christmas.
Of course.
And it was December 24th on Hollis Avenue, the dark, when I seen a man chilling with his dog in the park. I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Look at his dog on my
TJ, do you do weddings?
Yeah.
Seriously. Do you DJ weddings? You'd be awesome.
Coach is flashing back. Back in the day.
Back in the day.
It is the Brett Winterbull Show. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. That gentleman is the coach, Matt Doherty.
It's good to be back.
It's great to have you back. I mean, it's phenomenal.
It's my favorite day of the week.
It's incredible. It's incredible. I want to ask a question, but first I want to do something.
Okay.
I'm in the giving spirit. You're in the giving spirit this time of year? I mean,
oh, yeah. Spirit. The holidays? For
yeah,
sure.
For sure, right?
For sure.
What do you say we do something crazy here, Coach? What do you say we give away two tickets to the ACC championship game, Clemson Tigers versus the UNC Tar Heels? That's coming up Saturday, December 3rd at Bank of America Stadium. And caller number 11. Caller number 11 is going to win those tickets. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Caller number 11 gets those tickets. Good luck. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
You like eggnog?
No.
Really? You don't like the
eggnog? I don't know if I've ever had eggnog.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
I'm just talking. I'm not talking about the kind with the booze in it. I'm talking about you go get it out of the carton in the supermarket. Or
I don't think I've ever had it.
You've never had eggnog. This is a first. Have you had eggnog, TJ? See, he's had it. Okay, that's incredible. This is. I feel like next time you're in, I got to bring a carton and you have to taste test it.
What does it taste like? Eggnog.
It tastes like eggnog.
Chicken.
It doesn't taste like chicken. It tastes like eggnog. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do, remember the old Pepsi Coke contests back in the 80s?
So what would it taste like? Like if you put it what would you compare it to?
Okay, it's like a
chocolate
it's like
shake?
It's like a thick milk. Like let's start with the consistency, right? It's like not as thick as like buttermilk, but it's like a thick milk. And it's got like a nutmeg, cinnamony kind of.
Okay, that sounds kind of good.
Kind of a flavor. You ever have a Christmas cookie? It's like that kind of a flavor that you get when you get a Christmas cookie.
Oh, I've had Christmas cookies, but like you're saying, a Christmas cookie.
Eggnog is the drink, and it's very difficult. It's like describing a haircut over the phone. You have to experience it. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. I think I could describe a haircut over the phone.
It's like telling somebody how to cut hair over the phone. See, there we go. So you said you didn't.
So eggnog's like a haircut, basically.
This guy had eggnog. I don't believe for a minute he hasn't had eggnog. I'll bet you drink coffee?
Oh, yeah.
I'll bet you have eggnog flavored creamer for your coffee.
Why'd you have to do the hand signal there? You gave a little hand signal for the audience.
It's just a demonstration of how you pour that.
Are you Italian? You got to talk with your hands?
Half.
Half
only
Italian?
Only half.
So only your right hand?
Only half.
Move your right hand when you talk?
I'm half Irish.
Half Irish, so the
half Irish, half Italian, man.
So you move your right hand when you talk because you're Italian. Your left hand continually is to bend at the elbow because you're Irish. I get it. It's a good mix.
You know, I very, 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 very even keeled temper with me. You know,
really,
very sedate,
seriously
sedate from all the nog.
Nog.
You know, you go out on sedate, then you get the nog.
You get a sedate. Yeah, get a sedate. Yeah. I don't date anymore.
Well,
32 years I've been married.
That's God bless you.
Right.
Wait, hold on. God bless her.
Right.
God bless.
No question.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You know what? You know.
Bring her some.
You know
what
Kelly
did
last night? This morning.
What happened?
You know what? Yeah, I used to do my wife.
Hold on, I got to interrupt. We have a winner. We have a winner. Continue to call at another time. Go ahead.
I used to do the my wife. You know,
yes, sir.
Got to apologize to my wife. I got to apologize to my wife. I haven't done that segment in a while. So this morning,
oh boy,
it's early morning. I got a 5:45 alarm.
She slept in,
and so my wife likes to get up early. So she's up a few minutes earlier. I usually get up like between 7 and 8. She usually gets up about 6:30. Mm-hmm. So I'm up and she's respectful and, you know, tiptoeing around the room and, you know, I hear a little bit, but I'm sleeping. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden I see the light on her phone on and I'm thinking, that's kind of weird. Like, why does she need the light on the phone to walk through? Or she must be walking through, but it's like pointed at me.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird.
That's nice.
She was taking pictures of me sleeping in the bed.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm like, what are you doing that? And because we moved into this house, we got same bed, king size bed, but we got new comforter and stuff. And she was making evidence, proof of me stealing the blankets. Like, and yeah, she accused me of the tuck and roll.
Yeah, you're one of those.
A tuck and roll guy.
Yeah.
So I tuck and then I rolled and then she's freezing. She has to sleep in her robe to stay warm because I tuck and rolled. She accused me. If you ever read the book Five Love Languages, my wife, one of her love languages is acts of service. So I make the bed in the morning. And, you know, like one of the things that my pet peeve is like, why have more than two pillows on the bed if you just really, you and your wife? But, you know, we have like six or seven, pillows.
Like he's got these rules all over the place.
So, but anyway, that's besides the point. So I try to make the bed, and every morning I make the bed. I'm like, why is the blanket pulled over this side so much? You know, she took a picture of me in the bed with the covers pulled mostly to my side and accused me in the home court of tucking and rolling.
Look, I got to tell you, I'm not surprised.
Really?
I'm not that surprised.
I look like a tuck and roller?
You look like a tuck and roller. And, you know, I'm glad, TJ, go ahead and turn that mic off. Turn that mic off there. Okay, so what you want to do
just
is
between you and I now.
Yeah, just me and you. Get her an electric blanket.
Uh-huh.
Okay, put that mic back on now. Okay.
So there
you go.
All right.
Because it's physically impossible to do that with that.
Really?
The cord will wake you.
Huh. That's, you might have a point there.
I 100% have a point.
I think maybe
buy more blankets.
That's what I was thinking, right? His and her?
His and her. Let me tell you, I'm not too proud to recommend this to people. I've never done it, but I know people who have. You get in the bed, both of you are in the bed, in your own sleeping bag.
Really?
I never did it.
Small family. They don't have many children, do they? That's where the real
room. You killed the show.
I know you killed the show. Jim said you would kill the show. You killed the show just a little later
than
you thought.
They have small children?
Small children.
Boomer, Von K. You guys need bunk beds. They need bunk beds, Boomer. Bunk beds
bunk
in the bedroom.
Beds.
That's it. Now you guys.
Boomer, are you tuck and roll?
Gosh, yes.
You're tuck and roller, too,
oh,
huh?
Oh, yeah. Gosh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a bunk bed is not going to stop anything out there right
now. No, if we're in a bunk bed, I'm not on the top bunk. I'm a low bunk guy because I roll. Obviously, I roll.
Oh, God.
Roll off the top and kaboom.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good.
You know, I did that in the past year. I actually rolled off the bed.
Oh.
I really did, man.
Oh, man.
Felt like I hit by a truck.
Oh, God.
Boom. Boom.
I mean,
were you by yourself in the bed?
My dog was sleeping there at the base of the bed.
Really?
Pam was on the other side. She got up like, what the heck?
Did she push you?
You know what? I've thought about that.
I mean,
that.
Right?
Yeah.
A drive-by. I mean, I'm just saying.
I know the dog didn't.
That's it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, Pam, you know.
It might have been a little nudge.
Huh.
See if this works.
All right.
To be continued. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Brett Winterbull Show alongside the coach Matt Doherty, and we welcome to the program, as we always do, our good friend, colleague, and all around great talent, Beth Troutman, joining us as we cross the streams, Coach Doherty, with you, me, and Beth Troutman.
Oh, hi. That's a very sweet intro. And Coach, oh my gosh, I've missed you. Where have you been?
I know, I've been on the other side of the stream, Beth. Just haven't crossed it in a while.
Very well.
Well, thank God somebody finally built you a bridge.
Right? No, I got waders. I'm in. I want to be one with the water, in the elements. Yes, Beth.
I get it. I get it, man. My last name's Troutman. Of course
I know, right?
Oh, look at this.
You know, I was thinking when you were coming on here, like, should, like, politically correct, should it be Trout woman, Trout her, she, should it be Trout person?
Right.
Like,
Trout lady.
Trout lady. Wow.
Yeah, that sounds like somebody on Saturday Night Live, you know, Trout lady, Saturday Night Live. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I guess with my my founding fathers, my forefathers were not thinking of the gender-specific last name there. Although, see, here's what I think. I think my ancestors are from Germany, and then they came here, I mean, in the early days of our country. And I think the reason my last name became Troutman, I think they were fishermen. And I think somebody just said, hey, that's Bob. He's that trout man. You know, like he's
Good call.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just stuck. It just stuck.
Yeah. My dad was owned a Pepsi route. So there's a Pepsi man.
Pepsi man.
Walter,
well, you know,
Pepsi man. Walt Pepsi
where
man.
Where in the world does Doherty come from then?
Mayo, I think the county Mayo or in Ireland. Yeah, O'Doherty, I think it was O'Doherty, and they probably cut off the O when we, you know, got to Ellis Island. Yeah.
Why would they cut off? Why would they just chop the O off?
Because they're tired. You know, it's late in the day. Like, you know, they got to ink, you know, the inkwell.
They got to catch the subway home.
Yeah, it's like, screw that, you're Doherty.
Yeah, and they didn't want to put, it was really cumbersome to put that apostrophe there.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's time. You know, you get in the wrong line, all of a sudden you get a new name.
Yeah,
that's not bad,
right?
That's not bad. I got to be honest with you. I would shed my identity just, you know, for like a weekend or
a
something.
A better name?
Better name, better offers in the mail. You know, right. I mean, you just never know.
It all depends on what line you're in. Now, are you in the line or on the line? My wife and I go over this. Beth, you're from Concord. My wife's from Concord. Are you?
Yep.
Do you stand in line or online?
Well, if I'm on my computer, I'm online.
No. At the DMV, are you in the line or on the line?
Oh, I'm in the line.
You're in line. I'm in line.
I am in that line, man.
In line. I'm standing online. I think in Long Island, it's online.
I'm on the line.
You're online.
On the line. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm standing here
on a physical line.
I'm waiting online for the movie theater.
Right. I'm standing here online. This guy cut the line. Go to the back of the line.
Right.
You say online?
Online. Yeah.
Well, isn't that confusing now that we have the internet?
Well, I mean, if you grew up, you know, and yeah, you know, that's the way it is. You know, we're pretty smart people. We can handle like, oh, I understand. She's on the computer. She's not waiting for a ticket to the movie.
I can't talk to you right now. I'm online.
I'm online.
I guess if there were a physical line on the ground.
That's exactly the argument my wife and I have.
That's where it comes from.
Yeah, there was a line.
There was a line
on that line, but if there's no line in the on the ground, painted on the ground, but there is a line of people, I'm in the line.
No, but if there's no line, it's self-check.
Well, that's true. Unless you're, I just had a big long line at self-check because there was a rude guy that just went through with like 800 things in his
cart. Okay.
So you're talking about self-check, self-check.
Here we go, Beth. Okay, I am with you on this. Okay, philosophically, I am with you. You know my love. You know this, right, Beth? You know my love for the supermarket, and if I wasn't doing radio, I would be working at the supermarket, right? I've told you this
you
before.
Yeah, you'd be sacking shelves.
I'd be sacking groceries, okay? So here's the thing. Because I did that as a kid. It was a great job. Here's the thing. I used to be the guy that hates the people with 4,200 things in the cart at the self-check.
Yeah.
But then I realized something. I can hit the self-check, and I'm faster than the fastest checkers at the manned checkouts.
Oh, so you personally are.
I can. I can get there. And
you'll self-check with a bunch of items.
I will self-check. Yes, I will. Because what I have got perfected is I can go the scan to the toss of the hand into the bag. I can go scan, toss, drop.
Oh,
scan,
so you're a scan tosser guy.
100%. Spaghetti sauce doesn't faze me. Coffee cans.
Really?
A whole chicken. I'll toss it from one end to the other.
Are you looking at
that chicken right to this hand?
Are you looking at the produce or the can, or are you eyeing the next?
Now, this is the strategy. You got to wait to do all your vegetables or vegetables, depending on who you're talking to.
My mom, you said vegetables.
My
mom would say vegetables.
You got to wait for that's the end.
Why?
Because it's a sucker's bet. It's a sucker's bet. You put that, you do that in real time, you got to categorize with your eyes. And you're like, meat, 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 chicken, boom, 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 coffee. Then now you got, then you got
you
the
You go
vegetables.
Meat, meat, chicken first? Do you go meat, meat first?
Yeah, because I'm going to put
that
on the top.
Or you go chicken, meat?
You grab the chicken.
You grab
and
your
you
chicken?
Throw it into your hand.
You grab your chicken?
You throw the chicken into the hand and then into the bag. This is very not very confusing. It's a whole roaster.
Wow. That must have been interesting. Do you have to prepare for Thanksgiving? Like if you're going, like just think all the groceries you're buying for Thanksgiving and you're going self-check for Thanksgiving.
I stage it. We go stages.
Stages?
I go stages.
That's veteran. That's so awesome.
I go stages. I go today we're going to get all the stuff for the fixins.
Right.
Then now I'm going to go get the bird.
Right.
I'm going to flip that bird.
Flip the bird.
Put it right in that bag. Double bag it.
Double bag the bird? Bag the bird?
You double bag that bird. You got to be safe. You don't need giblets all over everything.
You don't want giblets. Oh. Beth, this is like maybe the most epic crossing of the streams ever.
I agree. I feel like I just learned something, or I might have been listening to something dirty. I'm not really sure.
What? There is nothing dirty. I keep the check stand clean. There's no leakage. There's nothing happening there.
Even when you check your chicken.
There's a price on it. I don't have to check it. I know that there's a price. And that's the other thing. Do not buy stuff that doesn't have a price on it or is not scannable.
Thank you. So the guy that was in front of me at self-checkout today, he was not you, Brett Winterbull. He had a cart full of stuff, and he was there for 946
You can't
years.
Do that. That's
there.
Abuse.
He's probably still there.
That's abuse.
And the vegetables are the time suck, because then you have to... He was looking up all the pictures.
Oh, you can't.
Oh, no, he's a rookie.
No.
Oh, he's a rookie.
Big mistake. You grab your handful of potatoes, and that's all you do. You got that, boom, in. Watermelons can be tricky. Because you got to make sure there's a sticker on it.
Right.
No sticker. That thing
now,
just sits.
Now, question, big question for you.
I'm due for a break. I mean,
I know, but this is important.
I'm hourly.
Now, do you go hand-to-hand with the watermelon, or do you use two hands? Like, you toss it from your left to the right with the watermelon?
I'll reach into the cart, pick it up two hands.
Scan?
Scan.
Scan and go?
Right there in the baby seat.
Scan and go.
In
the you will go baby seat with the watermelon.
I don't want it to break.
That's awesome move. That's a veteran move.
It's like a second and a half. Scan, pop, now it's a baby.
Baby.
I secretly want to shop with you now.
No. You don't shop with me.
I want to go to the grocery store with you.
You don't shop with me. You shop with Jensen. I heard all the stories. You don't shop with me. Where I go to shop, you can't go. There are people who cannot go with me where I go shop.
So you scan the baby. That's unbelievable. You check your chicken and you scan the baby.
And what aisle is the figgy pudding?
Hey, speaking of that, there's figgy pudding spam now, which is no one asked for.
Oh, that's so Concord. Did I come out of my mouth?
Aisle seven.
What do you got coming up on the show, Beth? I'm so over.
So tomorrow we are going to be talking, everything that happens overnight, everything that's going on in politics. We might be talking entertainment with Sean O'Connell. But one big thing I wanted to mention, we had David Chadwick on our show today, you know, who has the show on Sundays. He is the pastor at Moments of Hope Church. Such a cool guy.
Tar Heel basketball player.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Tar Heel basketball player. They're doing their big fundraiser that they do at Christmas every year. Moments of Hope Church will match every dollar that WBT listeners give.
Awesome.
You can go to cityofhopeclt.org and donate money. Every dime, every penny, 100% of that money goes to feeding hungry children all over the Charlotte area. And David Chadwick has reached out to different organizations at different parts of Charlotte, north side, east side, west side, south side, so that they can... People who live in those areas, work in those areas, serve in those areas, so that you can make sure that all of that money, all of those resources are going to feed hungry children when they are in need the most.
Wow.
And it's such a beautiful thing that they do. They've been doing it for the last 3 years. They've already raised, in the last just 3 years, nearly $500,000.
Amazing.
And again, they are going to match every dollar that that is donated from our WBT listeners up to $50,000. They may go over the $50,000 mark. So this is the time, if you want to give something and you want to know where your money's going, this is a beautiful place to go. And we'll be talking about that again tomorrow. But we launched it this morning on our show.
Awesome.
And I just wanted to give them props because it's a really cool thing they do.
Awesome. Beth Troutman, enjoy the night.
You too, my friends. And Coach, I have missed you. So glad you're back.
Oh, you're a good sport. Thanks for putting up with us.
Yep. Thanks, Beth.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. News Talk 1110-993-WB. I'm so sorry, Anna Erickson. I made you wait so long.
That's okay. You're busy checking your chicken and scanning
checking
your
the
babies.
Chickens and the spams and the whole thing. Figgy pudding. What do we got out there in the news? Oh, boy. Here we go. News Talk 1110-993-WBT. The coach, Brett Winterble. How do you feel about that last segment, Coach?
It was one of the best segments ever we've had.
We try to be helpful.
In my 2+ years here.
Try to be helpful.
It was real because most people, if not everybody, could relate to that. If those of you listening, if you could relate, raise your right hand.
Well, it's good. There are a lot of people.
Right?
There's a lot of people.
That was a good turnout.
That was good.
That's a good response.
Good response.
Yeah.
We have that special device that's been installed in people's vehicles now so we can see them.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Very helpful.
Not, we haven't gotten into the home radios yet.
All right. Bert's got a very important question for us. Let's take this call. Bert, welcome to the program. How are you?
Hello. How are you, Brett?
I'm great. Thanks.
Good. I just wanted to see if are you a sticker switcher? Where if the watermelon that you want doesn't have a sticker on it, will you take a sticker off a different watermelon?
No, never.
Throw it on that to scan?
Never. Never. You're violating the covenant that we all have as marketeers, as people who go to the market.
Now to follow up on that, how about if there's a coupon on a watermelon and you want a different watermelon, will you switch that?
No. First of all, there's no watermelon. When did you ever see a watermelon coupon? There's no watermelon coupon.
Well, I got a question.
There you can't have the watermelon.
Why would you need to switch stickers?
Cheaper.
Oh, by pound?
Or by brand, by...
Watermelon brands? Like what? Like a Converse and a Nike watermelon? Where are you shopping?
No, this is the same brand watermelon.
Yeah,
but you don't want that watermelon because it's rancid.
Just get the other one. That's all we'd have to do there. Now,
but you're talking about efficiency on the watermelon.
I'm just not picking up the rancid melon. If I see it and it squishes and it's decrepit, then I'm not.
Before you put it in the cart in the baby seat.
Yes. Let me tell you something. The baby seat is the most underused.
I agree.
And let me give you guys a tip. Can I give you a tip, Bert? Because you sound like a guy who could use a tip. You ready? Do you have kids? Do you have kids or do you just you're just shopping in the cart? You're just using the cart?
Yes, sir. I have a kid.
Okay. If you don't have your kid with you, what you do is you flip up the red thing or the baby seat thing to block off that.
So it doesn't go out the holes.
Well, you got
holes.
Yes. But what you also can do is take your phone with your shopping list and stand it up in the cart so that while you're pushing down the aisle, you know what you're looking for next.
Well, listen, Brett, this is where I got to beg to differ.
Oh, he's got the chart out here.
Couple things. I got my visor out. Brett, how tall are you?
6'10", 225. I go about 5'7", or so.
5'7", okay. So I'm 6'7".
Yes, sir.
I can't see that far to the cart.
Oh, down into the cart. Okay,
yes.
Very good. That's fine.
Right?
That's fine.
And now, how did you keep your phone from bouncing all over the cart? Do you have
an adapter? It stands up on the lines there.
Does it really?
Yes, it does. Very nice.
Interesting. Very nice.
So, Bert, I appreciate you being out there, buddy.
Thanks, Brett.
All right, you got it. I mean, we're here to help.
Yeah, this is good content.
We're givers. I don't know if we're on the highway to hell.
We might. I hope not. We might be.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Brent Winterbull and the coach, Matt Doherty. I want to grab this call from Buddy, who's been holding on. Hello, Buddy. How are you? What's on your mind, sir?
How you doing, Brett? Hey, coach.
Hey.
Hey, buddy.
Isn't that a nicer thing than when Jim calls and say, hello, coach, how are you?
Ooh.
Anyway, you're into sport. Brett, I haven't heard you say much. Your audience goes out past North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
And us folks down here in South Carolina are awful proud of the University of South Carolina pulling that thing off against the Pussycat team.
Whoa, nice.
Wow.
Now, I got to be careful here, okay? Because one of the biggest supporters of the show happens to be part of the Tiger Nation over there. And he happens to live right in my same neighborhood. And he's a great guy, and I felt so bad for him last week. But I have to say, the fellas in Garnet looked pretty good, especially, and here's the reason why I was very impressed with their performance, okay? Number one, I really like that coach a lot. I like Beamer. I like what you have in Spencer Rattler, who got another great opportunity. But what I was most impressed by is them stacking that up between the win over UT, over the
Tennessee.
Vols,
yep.
And then to do that to Clemson. I mean, man, that says something to me, buddy. I mean, you gotta be excited if you're back in that program right now.
Well, that's your neighbor that you were referring to,
yes,
tell
sir.
Him that I just ordered it because it's the first time I saw it, and I'm not one to even go get a new pair of shoes in 3 or 4 years.
Right.
But they had this T-shirt that has come out with the Gamecock, I call it the chicken, riding this pussycat.
And wow!
It's a pretty... I hope they have one an extra fat, because I'm going to wear it.
Extra fat? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but they shrink up, Brad, after the first or two.
No, that's the problem. See, that's the problem with swag. You know, they shrink, and that you got to get quality, like the real good quality stuff.
No, you just get an extra size up. Watch the damn things, they'll be perfect for life.
All right, so let me ask you a question. Coach is here, too. Tommy's here, and TJ's here. Here's a question for you guys. I'm very excited that the Rose Bowl signed off today, last night, on the playoffs for 24, that they're going to take it to 12 teams.
Right.
That, buddy, if you're any kind of a college football fan, that opens the door for so much opportunity, coach, for everybody, right?
That's great TV. And, you know, it's the fifth best team in the country could win the championship, right?
Right.
This is a fine line, and it's voting. But now you're giving teams a fair shake. Now, the number 13 team is going to complain, I don't really want to hear it.
Yeah.
You've had an opportunity to get in the top 12 in football. There's only 110 D1 football programs. In basketball, there's 360 Division I teams. So, you know, to have 12, go for it, that's going to be great TV.
What do you think, buddy?
I think it'll be a wonderful opportunity for several more teams to get in there, and they may be like the Gamecocks against Clemson, slip in there and grab one, and here we go, guys.
Yeah, you want to grab the chicken.
That's right.
No, you want to ride the pussycat.
Yeah. All right, buddy, appreciate
it. I love you guys, and thank you for your show.
Hey, you got it, buddy. We appreciate you being out there. That's something we really didn't talk about. I mean, we didn't talk about that at all today.
No, we spent a lot of time on chickens, though.
We did. I was giving a tutorial on how you're supposed to check out at the self check. You know, it's a passion of mine. It's a personal passion project of mine. Breakin' Brett Jensen has entered the arena. Welcome to the program, Breakin' Brett Jensen.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
So you got Charlotte at 6, and you got Breaking with Brett Jensen tonight.
Correct. Back to back nights.
Look at this.
I mean, one Brett to follow a Brett and a coach. Man.
Look at this. That's pretty good.
Wow.
And he was blowing it up last night because people are sick and tired of folks who don't do what, Brett Jensen? What is it, Tommy? What do they got to do?
Turn
the lights on at night.
Oh, this just happened to me. I'm actually going to give a shout
out
right now.
Yeah.
You know how like it's at night, people, they assume their automatic lights are kicking on, and they're not, but they're in the dome lights or their interior lights are lighting up, so people think that their headlights are on. But this just happened on the way over here. Freeman Stereo and Video. You've got a van. JJ8047. Oh! You've got a van.
Whoa!
Turn on your damn lights.
Oh, you just got some guy lit up.
Oh, my gosh.
Lit up. He got lit up. Let's hope he gets lit up.
I was like, I followed him for like 2.5 miles.
Yeah.
I was flashing the lights, did the whole off on, off on, off on, 000. And I was like, okay, you know what? We talked about this last night. JJ8047.
Well,
there you go, baby.
Now you're making him famous.
There you go.
That's rough.
You know, back in the day, there were gangs that would purposely keep their headlights off.
Yeah.
And if you flash them to turn them on, they chase you.
That's scary.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, that's.
And this was like, it was weird because their headlights were on,
but
all their taillights were completely off. So I don't know what was going on.
Maybe it was a short. Maybe they blew a fuse.
I don't know.
Now you're lighting them up.
Well, they should be lit up.
That's crazy.
Yep, the taillights should be lit up.
But we had people calling. We had people. I heard the guy call you yesterday.
We had a lot.
And he said, it's very upsetting when you can't bright somebody because it's the automatic settings and the lights on these cars now, you can't really do it.
Well, what are you saying? He said the automatic settings were, and I didn't know this existed, Coach. I don't know if you guys heard this. First I heard of it last night. He said, he can't turn his lights off and on. They're automatic. Now, he can make them bright and turn them off, bright or whatever, but he can't turn his lights off or on because they're automatically set, and that's the way the car
goes. I want.
I've never heard that.
I want the ability to be able to wink. Just one light goes out, the other one's on. That would be very cool. Where do people go for coaching with you there, Coach?
Doherty.com. New website, refresh, Doherty.com.
Thank you, Coach. I appreciate you
Great
being
night.
Here.
Thank you.
Boomer and Anna and Tommy and TJ, the coach, Matt Doherty. So great to be with each and every one of you. Beth Troutman for coming by. Brett Jensen has got Charlotte at 6 coming up next.
Living up to the name.
And then Breaking with Brett Jensen.
Yeah, I got some breaking news tonight.
Enjoy the evening, everybody. I'm Brett Winterble. News Talk 1110-993-WBT.
Doesn't it make you feel better? The pigs have won tonight. They can all sleep soundly. And everything is all right.
Pick it up, two hands, right there in the baby seat.